Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozogoz.
Upesuripasu tingi aizo!
In today's episode, we're talking about Fatal Fury Legend of the Hungry Wolf, which released in 1992 and was dubbed in 1994. I chose this one because I honestly keep getting this game series and Bloody Roar mixed up, and I thought this was about a wolf man.
Okay.
It's Altered Beast.
No, Bloody Roar is it's a fighting game where you play like werewolves and I don't know, Draculas, I don't know.
We're bunnies, we're insects, we're tigers. I actually own that game. I forgot about it.
Well, it's not this one, unfortunately for me. But it was animated by Nihon Ad Systems, also known as NAS, the company behind several Transformers shows, every Yu-Gi-Oh! Show until 2019. And one of the studios behind Neon Genesis Evangelion. Fatal Fury Legend of the Hungry Wolf has a My Anime List score of 6.41.
Is that so far the lowest we've had? I can't remember.
No. It's about average.
Nice.
The plot summary that I have is, when the evil geese murders their mentor, Terry and Andy Bogard put a decade of training to the test to defeat him in the King of Fighters martial arts tournament. And to try something different, Arturo, what's your synopsis?
I got two brothers, Terry and Andy, joined the King of Fighters tournament to prove their worth in order to learn a skill that will allow them to avenge their father's death.
Okay, and goes.
Terry's father gets killed by children and a goose. 10 years later, Terry and his brother enter the King of Fighters tournament to get revenge on the goose.
Love it. Well, to start off, what's everyone's experience with Fatal Fury? Artura?
I didn't even know it existed.
It's <Good
stuff. laughs> Like, just straight up, everything else I've heard of, I've seen. But then you sent me Fatal Fury, and I was like, this is a video game? And then I heard King of Fighters, and it's like, oh, I've read about this.
Okay, Goz, what about you?
I didn't play Fatal Fury specifically. I'm more familiar with King of Fighters and like Samurai Showdown, which is the same company, SNK. King of Fighters actually is their crossover fighting game where they have characters from Fatal Fury and their other fighting games. So it all blends together in King of Fighters.
I did not know that.
Me neither. What the hell? Wow, thank you for that information. Honestly, I had no idea. I was like, oh, Fatal Fury, I guess that's King of Fighters.
Myself, I already said I keep getting this in Bloody Roar mixed up, so I don't actually think I've ever played an SNK fighting game.
You probably did, but you don't realize it was SNK.
Might have accidentally played one.
I mean, I'm joking, but you might have.
Well, they recently had that Capcom and SNK Clash Card Fighters thing, which was actually just two games, and they didn't actually clash. It was a Capcom card game and an SNK card game on the same cart for the Switch re-released last month.
So they don't even cross over? They're just like two different games?
In that instance, that's correct.
Oh my gosh, okay.
No.
I imagine that they were going to release them separately, but then thought nobody knows who SNK are anymore, so we'll bundle them together.
I mean, that's a fair argument, because I hadn't heard of SNK until the game came out. So not that I'm privy to much at all, apparently, because I didn't even know what we were watching this time around.
Okay, well, as we said, the movie starts with the brothers, the Bogard brothers, seeing their father killed, and a bunch of kids are the main reason that Geese stabs, or one of his men stabs. It was all kind of blurry.
That's a good point. I thought it was Geese, but now I'm not sure.
I mean, the stabbings didn't necessarily, it wasn't necessarily fatal.
That's true. So yeah, Geese then beat him up as well as him having just been stabbed.
He blasted him.
And then the brothers see this happen with their father's martial arts teacher. And then he says, okay, I'm going to teach you my secret technique in 10 years. See you later.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things about this scene. A, I like how 10 years later, the old man doesn't age at all. And B, I was really confused. So were the kids in on the kill or were they cowering on him when they held on to him? I wasn't super clear on that.
Yeah, same. Like, I just thought if that's the case, then that's a really dark start.
I think most of the kids were cowering. That's what I took. But then you kind of suspect Lily as a child grabbing onto him, because it turns out that Lily is Geese's adopted ? Daughter.
Or maybe Geese adopted her right there.
Yeah, because it's not really made clear. She just eventually appears in the car with him at the same time. And I was like, yeah. Oh, so the kid was evil. But what about the other kids? So I was just really confused.
They were like begging for change from him.
Yeah, and then she somehow was also chiming in with the flowers. She knew that was going to happen. It all just worked perfectly against Terry and Andy's father.
After the 10 years go by, we meet up with Terry as he enters a bar for a quiet drink, and things happen, and he winds up threatening to kill everyone in the bar. Like, he's not just beating them up. He literally says he's going to kill them all.
Wait, really? I missed that.
Yes,
it may have been in the subtitles, but yeah, the threat of ending their lives was definitely there. I watched it dubbed with the subtitles and now and then flicked over to the sub just so I could hear everyone's voices.
I also watched it subbed, so I'm really shocked to hear this. And a little scared of Terry now.
Maybe it was just drunken brawl talk.
Yeah, that's true. And we meet Lily again, and she's what causes the fight. And at the end of the fight, we're introduced to this guy who I didn't get his name. He's a kickboxer. Joe. Yes, a very simple name that I should have written down because we did get his name repeatedly. Okay, so he meets Joe, and they wind up running from the cops. And when they were facing off against each other, Joe gets that Terry is Andy's brother, because he's already met Andy off screen, because they both use the same fighting stance. So did Terry and Andy train together before splitting up, or did they instinctively have the same stance? Or,
I mean, I assume if they were in a weird relationship where they had both their father and their master, I assume they were all living together, then yeah, they might have already picked some stuff up.
That's a fair point. It does seem like that's a very good point, because I didn't realize. To me, it just loaded that they had trained together for a while and then they'd split up. But I don't know. It's not really mentioned.
I don't think that the master was training the kids or involved with the kids in that sort of way, at least.
No, it's never hinted at that.
Geese, he's surprised that the old man has joined forces with the kids. It's like, why would they not join forces? You killed the kid's old man. Well, father, not too many old men.
Too many old men, instructions unclear.
Instructions unclear. Killed all old men.
Well, you're right. After checking back the footage, Terry does indeed tell them anyone else want to lose their life. Now, I took that as sarcasm, but now I'm scared.
I mean, you don't see any of the bodies moving.
No, they never move afterwards. It's not like they cower or flee after the police arrive afterwards.
Just dissolve.
Yeah, they just disappear.
So we later in Joe's hotel room, guessing it's his hotel room, he tells Terry that he should enter the King of Fighters tournament, which is about to happen 3 days from then, I think he says. And so he agrees, and then coincidentally, it's a couple of days after he's supposed to be meeting the old man and his brother. And then we find out that the secret technique that the old man wants to teach the brothers is the Hurricane Punch.
Wait, did they say it this early into the movie?
When they meet up at the gravesite.
I was honestly really shocked when they put Andy to fight against Terry randomly. I honestly didn't know that was Andy. So I was like, why is Terry fighting randomly?
I actually had to laugh because in the dub, Andy jumps down on Terry shouting, like, ah, and Terry dodges out of the way. In the sub, he doesn't make a noise. He just jumps down and Terry jumps out of the way, instinctively sensing that this person's jumping out of a tree.
Sixth sense? I don't know.
One thing I wanted to mention is that this is such a typical story of when Terry and Andy fight, and he's like, I'm going to beat you, and once I do, I'm going to learn the technique, and I'm going to avenge our father. And it's like, you know, like, of course Terry's going to get it, because he's the main character, but it's always such a typical story that the character that's more cool-headed, even if they're not the best fighter, gets it, because that's exactly what happened with Geese and their father, right?
Yep, the old man even says that, and then Andy's, like, going off hot-headed all the time.
One thing I did want to ask, I forgot to ask, why is it that Geese wanted their father dead? I wasn't clear on that.
He wanted to be the very best? Oh.
So that was never explained, okay.
Yeah, he just beats him up. And
just to
and,
advance the plot, I guess.
And wanders off, gets in his car and drives off.
Okay.
I mean, it was a simpler time. Like, back then, in the 80s, 90s, you could get out of the car, kill someone, go drive home, and, like, have a nice dinner, and no one would bother you. There was no consequences.
Ah, yes, the good old times.
So we find out that it's called the Hurricane Punch, and nobody but him knows it. I mean, the father knew it, and the old man knows it. Geese didn't know that this technique existed. He's surprised later when he finds out that this technique, oh yes, it's a secret technique. I see in this scroll that there's a blank space, and now I understand why there was a blank space, because it's a secret technique. So he didn't even know that this secret technique existed. So that makes his murder of the father even stranger, because it's not even a case of, you know this technique that I will never know because I'll never be taught it, so I'll just kill you, and then no one will know it.
Yeah, it's almost like he didn't think this through.
So, here's my question. If he knew the technique, and that same technique is considered so powerful that they want to teach it to beat Geese, why does the father not use it? Like, there's a lot of plot holes here.
I assume he didn't want the children to be collateral. Like he would spin his arms around.
But the children left when he fights Geese, even if he was stabbed.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I mean, it's a big whirlwind. They might have still been dragged into it. When we see it used later, there's no children around.
I guess we wouldn't know what the force of gravity would do to the children.
I made a note about 20 minutes. 25 minutes in, saying that there wasn't a lot of fighting in this fighting game adaptation.
That's a good point. They went to the King Fighters tournament, and most of the fights were just skipped. They're shown in quick sequences, and then suddenly there's a guy with a sniper rifle on top that's going to shoot them. Now, I had two quarrels with this. First of all, when they shot, I was really shocked that Joe took the shot. I didn't understand how or why he saw it. And second of all, this is the King of Fighters tournament, which is owned by Geese. So isn't this basically saying that his entire tournament is just unsafe, and why would anyone ever do it again and go here again?
He pays off the authorities, the local police and stuff, so, I mean, people aren't there to have a safe time.
I guess that's a good point.
Yeah, the old man, the master, had to dress up as a woman to get in.
That's true. How did they know to look for him, though? Because they were looking for him.
I think, if I'm not wrong, Geese tells them that they're part of the tournament and he's probably in there as well, so that's when they start looking. My question was, how did he know he was going to be looked for and he could trust the lady beside? And also, if an old man asked me to use my hat, because I'm assuming he didn't take the hat himself, to hide from the people looking for him, you think I'd cover? It's like, no, why are they looking for you?
Well, she's not very inquisitive. She has secrets of her own that she wants kept.
I guess that's fair.
Maybe she was, like, really savvy and she went, like, oh, are you, like, an old master to two guys and, like, you have to hide from geese because you're going to teach one of your students a technique that can beat him? Sorry.
I didn't know she was omniscient, too.
No, it's all women's intuition.
Also, she was pregnant, too. That supposedly increases the power.
Maybe we didn't see. I noticed several times during that tournament scene and afterwards, Geese snaps his fingers and people just immediately do what he wants them to do, even though he hasn't told them what to do. Just snap, and now that these people are surrounded, snap, and now they're attacking.
He rehearsed this.
He snaps his fingers and one of his men brings a bottle of wine over to Lily.
Honestly, I'm just chalking that up to psycho power. It's multiversal.
He has the psycho power in this universe, not M. Bison or Vega, depending on your subtitles.
Yep.
As you said, they're snipers, so the main characters leg it. And Geese finds where Lily is helping them escape. And he calls her a bitch, and that wasn't in the subtitles, and we didn't see his face, so it wasn't like they were trying to match the lip flaps. It was really unnecessary.
They just decided to add the abuse there.
Yeah. Here's some misogyny, because it's a fighting game. I don't know.
I mean, he blasts her out of window, and, like, she lands on her head right after that.
No. He shoots her, and she flies out the window.
No, I do think he keyblasts her. I'm checking the scene here. I was really shocked. Me too. I thought it was a gun too. So I was when I was first watching, I was shocked that there was no gun hole. And B, I was really shocked how much she flew with the gunshot. I was like, wow, it's a really powerful gun.
I mean, I would assume he would just keyblast people and he wouldn't carry a gun.
It was a keyblast, I apologize.
Because... I mean, that's what I would do.
I mean, if you can key blast.
Unless the key blasting was limited and I had to draw the power from the earth.
But we know he can't do that because he can't do the hurricane punch. Useless.
I mean, maybe he draws power from other things then. I don't know.
Draws his power from evil. So they make their escape.
It's psycho power. It's psycho power.
That was correct. They make their escape. The old man is stabbed by a spear / stick that I don't think was sharp at all, and he's dying in the hospital, and then immediately is able to get up, get out of bed, come outside and teach the hurricane punch. And this was a line just in the dub, not in the subtitle. I know my body better than any doctor. After 2 years of pandemic, that just made me laugh.
What I was shocked by is that he was inside the ring when the shooting started, and then I guess he ran away, went and grabbed a car, and drove exactly to where they would escape from. I guess the old man is also omniscient.
The old man ran for the door while everyone else ran for the window.
Oh gosh, I missed that. Well, you're right.
I'm just assuming.
Oh, you are right, though. The staff that hurts him isn't actually... He uses that skill again later against Andy. And apparently it punctures your lung somehow, which is like a terrifying way to die.
As someone who's had a collapsed lung can confirm.
Yeah, so like, I don't know if that's possible, but that was terrifying when that happened to the poor old man. And I really like how he just got up from the coma and he was just like battle ready. And then afterwards, when he teaches him the hurricane punch, he just goes into a meditative state and stops existing.
There are some dark patches on his skin and he's dead? Question mark.
Yeah, I guess he into regeneration mode. He'll be back soon.
Went like Yoda or something.
Well, Optimus Prime goes turns grey when he dies in the Transformers the movie, so...
Oh, what happens to the paint?
I don't know.
Does the paint just rot at that moment, or expires, or something?
So Andy and Joe leave the hospital and go to the island, and they row there, and they won't be expecting us. They just tried to kill you, and you think they aren't going to be ready for you? Of course they are ready for them.
I don't know. Like, maybe they also realize that Geese doesn't think things through all the time. So, like, they were like 50-50. Maybe they will be ready. Maybe they won't.
We'll roll the dice.
They fight off a bunch of guards and they still decide that they have the element of surprise.
Well, to be honest, those guards were really low-tech, like wearing hakamas and whatnot. They surely didn't have walkie-talkies to alert their friends that they were being attacked.
See, but the thing is, if they're positioned there waiting for you, I would assume that if they're waiting for me here, that means that they know I'm coming. And not only that, but they also expected them to get killed because afterwards, the guy with the bow staff and the really big, big guy had never caught their names. But they're also waiting for them and beat the crap out of them.
Right, yeah.
So, like, by this point, they still decide to have the element of surprise on Geese.
And luckily, Andy came prepared with a metal plate in his shirt, just in case the guy with the stick tried to do that again.
Which, might we add, he literally just left. Like, he left the hospital and then just went straight into the fight. So, like, very nice. Very well done.
Yeah, they should have stopped and get some guns or something.
That's true. Terry arrives on the island, and they all race up to fight Geese, and Joe and Andy get immediately beaten down, and then Terry tries his best before trying the one move that is the only move that will defeat Geese.
And he uses ki blasts and whatnot.
Yes, but when Terry uses this final attack, the hurricane punch, did anyone else notice that we didn't see it hit?
That's a good point. He did do it.
He just starts spinning, and then there's an off screen. Then Geese is flying into the water face down.
One thing that I would like to point out is that he decided that the skill was not good enough, and he upgrades it into... Yeah, he decides that the hurricane punch was not good enough, so he starts thinking about everyone that died. As I guess that's how he feels Mother Earth's loving roots. And he changes it into wave motion hurricane kick? Or something like that. He somehow knew that was going to work, despite the fact that he literally just learned it and literally just failed to use it against Geese again. So, you know, good writing.
He used his fighter spirit. He made his own version or something. I don't know. I think Jackie Chan did the same thing in one of his films. Just randomly made up a new style.
Oh, right. It's a kick. He changes it from a punch to a kick.
That's right.
He probably played Street Fighter before and thought that might be a cool move to do because they do hurricane kicks there.
So after the fight, they all head to the cemetery and then say that they're going to meet up again after doing some more training. And then Terry gets on a boat and I'll be honest, I half expected Geese to be like in a speedboat chasing after him like Vega at the end of Street Fighter 2.
I can't even remember that.
Right at the end, Ryu's walking down the street and Vega is in a truck.
Oh, right.
Just chasing after
him. I forget that. That's so hilarious. why would he need a truck?
He can teleport. But, right, I'll ask the question I always ask. Was this a good adaptation?
I don't think so. Unlike the other ones that had a way more focus on fighting and a lot of characters coming together. This one, despite the fact that I didn't know a lot about it, you can kind of tell which characters are important to the story and which ones appeared in the game, I mean. And there weren't a whole lot, and they focused too much on lore. So I feel like in this scenario, it actually wasn't that good of an adaptation for a fighting game.
Apparently, Lily doesn't appear. Lily does appear in the games. One of the games in the background of one stage.
Oh, that changes everything.
What is everyone's ranking out of a thumbs up, thumbs down, or a meh? Arthur?
Honestly, for me, I think this is a thumbs down.
Okay, Gauze?
Thumbs up. It was fine. I didn't get bored throughout. There was a lot of silliness that I enjoy, so yeah. I'd watch it again, maybe, if I had nothing else to do.
Okay, for myself, it's a thumbs down. Not only was it lacking in fights, I mean, even Tekken's one-sided fights were fights, and bits of it made no sense. The name, Legend of the Hungry Wolf, that makes no sense. There is no mention of a wolf, hungry or not, in the dub. The subtitles mention the word wolf once, and I think that's when they were describing Terry as one.
Yeah, if you see the ending, if you see past the credit scenes, you actually get to see Terry showing like a wolf behind him. So my assumption is that the Legend of the Hungry Wolf is just a legend of Terry.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense in the dub. So why would the English title be Legend of the Hungry Wolf?
I'm just arguing that, you know, I don't know. Okay, I didn't make the movie.
Go back in time and find out.
I just know that it's bad and I didn't like it.
You only have to go back 30 years.
Oh, nice. Can't wait to go back and learn about this for no reason.
From what I understand, like, the connection isn't that clear in the games either. So, like, the film just inherited it. Like, the name was known, so they used the same name for the film, whatever.
So basically what you're telling me is that because the game was vague, they decided to be vague too. I'm really excited to see the Dark Souls interpretation then.
All right, well, thank you, both of you, for coming to this episode of the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. And however Gors would say, you know, arigato gozaimasu or something.
Yep, that, whatever that meant.
Thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and about it, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. And until next time, game on.